Alrighty, I would like to start in Mark 16.
Kvina kutani kramu maka kumina mukaga.
And in verse 15,
okuva kunyula 15,
Yeshua said to them,
Yeshua n'abagamba nti,
going out into all the world, preach the good news to all creation.
Mugende mu nsi yonna mubuulire amawulire amalungi.
The one believing and being baptized will be saved. And the one not believing will be condemned. So we see that baptism is the sign of the new covenant. I mentioned yesterday that Yahweh is about covenants, not religion. And the way you draw closer to Yahweh is by entering covenant relationship. There's all different kinds of covenants in the Bible. The Sabbath is a covenant. And there's the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant. Or the Sinai Covenant, you can say. And the New Covenant. And we know the sign of the Old Covenant was circumcision. But in the Old Covenant, there was not salvation. There was cause and effect. We know Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. They're the blessings and the cursings. If you keep my commandments and my statutes and my judgments, then the land will bless you. And you will have rain in its season. And I will bless you. But if you break my commandments and my statutes and my
judgments,
then you'll be cursed and ultimately put out of the land. Cast out of the land. Now, there were four sins in the Old Covenant that could not be forgiven. Adultery, blasphemy, idolatry, and murder. You couldn't murder somebody and then sacrifice an animal and be forgiven. If you murdered another person, you were stoned to death. Now, when Yeshua came to earth, he didn't come to do away with the Torah. He came to make it larger, to magnify it. And he came to show us sin is not just in the action, but also in the thought.
You
need another interpreter? Okay. Got to bed too late last night? And then he went on to explain, the law says, the Torah, you shall not murder. But I say, if you've gotten angry with your brother, you've murdered him. Anybody in this room ever have gotten angry in their life? Yeah, right. We're all murderers then. The law says you shall not commit adultery. I say if you even looked at a woman to lust, you've committed already in your heart. Has anyone ever had a bad thought of lust? Yes. So according to Yeshua's words, we've committed sins that could not be forgiven in the Old Covenant. And that's why when Joshua brought the Israelites into the Promised Land, in Joshua 24, he told them, don't enter this covenant with Yahweh. Because you're going to sin. And your sins will not be forgiven. But they looked at all the blessings. And they said, oh no, we will serve Yahweh. And that's why in Corinthians 3, Paul calls it a covenant of death. The Torah is not the covenant of death. The agreement about keeping the Torah was the covenant of death. So like we said, circumcision was the sign of the Old Covenant. Baptism is the sign of the New Covenant. Paul says in Galatians 5, if you be circumcised, Messiah profits you nothing. Why would he say this? I've just explained to you. If you're circumcised, what covenant are you joining? The Old Covenant. Was there salvation in the Old Covenant?
No.
The Judaizers of the first century were trying to get the new believers to be circumcised and go back to the Old Covenant. Where Paul was baptizing the people into the new covenant. Now, there's three things that are exactly the same in both covenants. Both covenants are with the same people. Both covenants are with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Both covenants are about the same land, the land of Israel. And both covenants have the Torah, the same law. So the people, the law, and the land, it never changes. But in the Old Covenant, if you committed these sins, surely you will die. In the New Covenant, the blood of Messiah can cover your sins. And Yahweh forgets your sins and remembers them no more. It is a better covenant built on better promises.
Hebrews 8.
So, is it circumcision that's so important? Or is baptism so important? No, these were signs of the covenant. So if we go back to Exodus now, Exodus 12, as we start to get into now why, what is the meaning of the Passover? In verse 43, it says, and Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No heathen may eat of it. Some people will call you Gentiles. It's impossible if you're a believer in Yeshua to be a Gentile. The word Gentile means heathen. A heathen is someone who's not in covenant relationship. So anybody here who's come to Messiah, you are not a Gentile. You are a seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. Yahweh said in Amos 3:2 to the family of Israel, your family, the family of Israel, only have I known in all the earth. So some of you sitting here may be blood Israelites. And some of you maybe not. But each one that has been baptized and come in relationship with Yahweh, you've become a seed of Abraham and an Israelite. And there's no distinction in this room, because we're all covered under the same blood. So when we look at Exodus 12, it's saying whoever, a heathen, someone who is not in covenant relationship, cannot take the Passover. So if you were in the old covenant, what would you have to do to take the Passover? You'd have to be circumcised and join the covenant, and then you could take the Passover. But in the new covenant, what would you have to do to take the Passover? You'd have to be baptized and join the new covenant. Like I said, circumcision is not what's important, and baptism isn't what's important, because they're signs. The important is being in covenant relationship. Baptism pictures our cleansing, and it's the beginning of your covenant relationship. We spoke a little about this yesterday. When you go under the water, you're telling Yahweh you're going to die to the old man, and you've repented of your sins. You're totally turning around to a new way of life. And then Yahweh says he's going to put his spirit in you, and you're literally going to be impregnated with the Holy Spirit, and you become a new creation, and you're under a literal contract. Now, this contract is eternal, but you have to renew it every year. And that's what the Passover is about. Every Passover, you're renewing your covenant with Yahweh. And Numbers, the 9th chapter, in verse 13, it says, whoever does not partake of the Passover will be cut off from the people of Yahweh. So it's extremely serious. You have to take that Passover every year to renew your covenant vow. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. And I'll start in verse, let me see here. I'll start in verse 20. Then coming together, you do not eat and drink as is appropriate on the day of our master. For each one takes his own supper first in the eating, and the one is hungry and another is drunk. For do you not have houses in which to eat and drink?
Or
do you not respect the congregation of Yahweh? And shame those who have nothing? What do I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I do not praise. For I receive from the Master what I deliver to you. That the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And giving thanks, he broke and he said, "Take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the cup also. After supping, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For each time you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our Master until his coming. So what we see, the Passover is a memorial. You're not to take it every week the way Catholics do. You're not to take it once a month the way Protestants do. But it's a memorial that we do once a year. On the 14th day of Aviv, according to Yahweh's calendar. If you go back to Exodus 13, in verse 10, it says, "And you shall keep this ordinance, the Passover, at its appointed time or in its season, from year to year." So the Passover is to be kept in the spring in Aviv once a year. If we go back to Corinthians 11, and I'll go back to verse 26 now, it says, "For each time you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our Master until he comes." Now, when you go out every day and you share the truth with people, and you tell them about Yeshua, you don't tell them, "Please believe in this dead man who lived 2,000 years ago." No, you tell them about the living Messiah. And they say, "How can you prove he's living?" And you say, "Look at my life. Before I was a sinner, I was going in the wrong direction. And now he lives in me. And I'm a new creation." So we preach a living Messiah. There's one thing that keeps us united here. There's one thing that keeps you going through your trials every day of your life. The hope of the resurrection. That's the key right here. If the resurrection never happened, then how miserable are we? But if it really happened, if Yeshua raised from the dead on the third day, as he said, and 2,000 years later, he's still living at the right hand of the Father, then that means we will also live with him. Death has no power over us, because we are first fruits for him. This is powerful. This can help people that are grieving. And this is the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. And we preach this 364 days a
year.
But one day a year, on the 14th day of the first month of Yahweh's calendar, on the day of the Passover, when we commemorate our covenant relationship, and we renew it for another year, we don't remember the life of the Messiah. That one day we remember his death. We remember the beating he went through. The suffering that he went through when he was tortured. How they hung him. And if you come to Jerusalem, I will show you the exact place where they hung him and beat him. In the prison cell in the house of Caiaphas, still there today. The marks are still there where they used to tie the prisoners to. And they had what they called a cat of nine tails. A cat of nine tails.
Cat.
Cat.
Meow.
What it was a whip. And it had 13 different whips on the one whip. And once they hung you up, they would come and they would whip you with 13 different stripes coming on you. Now let me explain. First of all, they would take all your clothes off. In every part of your body was open to be hit. The face, the genitals, everything. And it wasn't just a whip. On the end of each string, they would put chips of metal, glass. They would put rock. And then this man was a professional knowing how to swing this. And as he would come and swing it, chunks of flesh would come from your face. And blood would be gushing everywhere. Isaiah 52 tells us Yeshua's beating was so bad.
Yes,
he couldn't even be recognized by his own mother. Then afterwards, he went to the crucifixion. And they would hang you on a tree. And once they'd hang you on the tree, they'd take the spikes and put them. And they would put it not at the hand, but in the wrist. Now the wrist is considered a part of the hand. It's considered part of the hand, but it's actually the wrist. And that's where all your nerve endings are, right in there. So as they pounded those nails, all his nerves. And then as he was hanging there, you can't hold your weight up anymore. And just like it says in Psalms 18 and Psalm 22, all his bones came out of joint. And you start to, with all the blood to you're losing, you can't even breathe. And it was so painful, they didn't even have a word of how painful it was. And they made up the word excruciating. Excruciating.
That's
the name that they brought up for crucifixion. Very, very painful. And when we're reflecting on this on Passover, we have to remember it wasn't the Jewish brothers who killed Yeshua. It wasn't the Romans who killed Yeshua.
It wasn't the Romans.
The Romans didn't kill Yeshua. I killed Yeshua. Because if I was the only person who ever lived, he still would have died on that tree.
Yes.
And this is what we have to reflect on each Passover. That while we were yet sinners, Yahweh loved us enough that He called us out of that way of life into covenant relationship to be a child of His. But it all starts with the blood. There is no sacrifice of sin without blood, Leviticus
17:11.
And this is what we need to reflect on each and every Passover. Now the original Passover gives us a lot of meaning for us today. Do you remember what happened with Moses in Egypt? How there were 10 plagues? The water was turned to blood. There were flies and lice. There were hailstones. There was darkness. But then there was the last plague. That was worse than any other plague. It was the death of the firstborn. Let's go to Exodus 12 and read a little bit about it. Because you know something? If you're not a firstborn, then Passover has nothing to do with you. Because only the firstborn died. But if Yahweh is calling us today, what are we called? We are the firstborn of Yeshua's creation. We are the first fruit of His work. Exodus 12. Exodus 12 and verse 21. And Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take of the flock for you and your families and kill the Passover. And take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood and in the basin.
What is hyssop?
Hyssop is an herb. An herb. Hyssop. It's like oregano. It's a herb. A flower.
Okay. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip in. Okay. Mukwate hyssop in tichiringa chimuli. Muchinyike mumusayogo.
The wall book of gamma mazigabila muchimuli echo. Gaweta hispamba nabana zananda bikana nanga bakawan.
Okay. Amazagabila nga muchimuli echo tibaganyike musai.
And touch some of the blood in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And you shall not go out anyone from the door of his house until morning. And Yahweh will pass through to strike Egypt. And he will see the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts. And Yahweh will pass over the door. And He will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. And you shall observe this word for an ordinance to you and your sons forever. So we see that Passover is dealing with firstborn.
Kakano tulaba nti okuyitako chikwata kubana kubabereberye.
If you weren't a firstborn, this would have nothing to do. You weren't
going to
die. But now it's the same in the new covenant. Is Yahweh calling all the world today? No, he's calling his first fruit, his firstborn. And who is the firstborn of Yahweh? Exodus 4. Exodus 4 and verse 21. Yahweh tells Moses to go back to Pharaoh, and then in verse 22 he says, "And you shall speak to Pharaoh." So says
Yahweh,
"My son, my firstborn is Israel." Wow. So now we know we know Yeshua is the first of the first fruits. And like I said, without that blood, we're nowhere. But there's a ceremony that's going to happen during Passover week. It happens the morrow after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. It's called the Feast of First Fruits or the Feast of Resurrection. And it's when the priest would take the first of the sheaf. The very first of the harvest. And they would cut that harvest. And they would tie it up. And bind it. And then they would beat it to get all of the barley off. And then smash it. And then roast it in the fire. And this is exactly what happened to Yeshua when he died.
Chino ku Yeshua bwe yali afudde.
How he was taken and he was bound.
Yatwalibwa n'asibwa.
And beaten and smashed. And then went through the baptism of fire
at
his
death.
So if we go to 1 Corinthians
15.
And I'll start in verse 20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of those having fallen asleep. For since through man came death.
Kubanga mumuntu okufa mwekwaitira.
Also through a man is a resurrection of the dead.
Era kuita mumuntu amazukira gabafu mwekulino mwegalino kuba.
For as in Adam all die.
Kubanga okuita mwadamu bonabafa.
So also in Messiah all will be made alive.
Era chechimuno kuita mumasiya bonaba nababalamu.
But each in his own order. Messiah the first fruit. Afterward those of Messiah at his coming. And it says if the first fruit is holy, so is the rest of the loaf. So now, if Yeshua is accepted by Yahweh, so will the rest of us. And what happens the morning Yeshua, after he's resurrected? He meets Mary Magdalene on the first day of the week. And she goes to grab him. And he says, "Do not touch me, for I have not ascended up to my Father." This is the day of first fruits. This is resurrection day. And what did we just read here in Corinthians? He had to go to the Father first to be accepted his sacrifice. for the rest of us to also be first fruits. If you go to Revelation 14, so we see Israel is the firstborn of Yahweh. And Yeshua is the first of the firstborn. And each one of us are part of the family of Yahweh, part of the family of
Israel.
So each one of us is the firstborn. Does the world keep Passover? No, they keep Ishtar Sunday. Because they're not first fruits. Yahweh is calling us out of the world to be a type of first fruit to Him. Revelation 14. And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And they're singing the song before the Lamb. I'll drop down to verse 4. Verse 4. These are the ones who have not become defiled, for they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever He may go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And no decoy was found in their mouth, for they are unmarked before the throne of
Yahweh.
I tell people, if you think about it from mathematics, it's at least 1,000,000 to 1 that you're sitting here in this chair.
Come again.
It's 1,000,000 to 1 that they're sitting in that chair. For every one first fruit to Yahweh in covenant person, there's 1,000,000 people out there that are not covenant people. So your calling is something special. And Yahweh called you to call others. But Passover is all about the firstborn. This is a special covenant that He's only making with you. So don't go out and tell all the Sunday keepers they need to keep Passover. Because first they would need to repent and come into covenant relationship. And once they're part of covenant relationship and they're a firstborn of
Yahweh,
then they would have the honor of keeping the
feast.
Let's go back to the book of, let's go to Colossians first.
Colossians.
Because I want to show you Yeshua's supremacy in this
covenant.
Colossians, the first chapter.
Bakolisayo esule soka.
In verse 15.
Olinyeri ya kola 15.
Colossians 1 in verse 15.
Esule soko olinyeri ya 15.
It says, who is the image of the invisible Elohim?
Ruga mantiani chifana nyichoyo muyinza atalabika.
The right of the firstborn of all creation.
Ndi oyo omut oyo atukiride.
Why does Yeshua sit at the right hand of the Father? Because He's the first of the firstborn. He has been given that right of the firstborn. The Torah says if a man had two wives and loved the one but hated the other, he is not to take away the right of the firstborn son and give it to the other one he loved more. The right of the firstborn is a special right. There are two promises in the Old Covenant to the sons of Israel. One is the scepter, the kingship. And that was given to Judah and King David. But the other is the right of the firstborn. And that was given to Joseph. Now, as believers, we're Ephraimites. We're coming from the nation of Israel. So where Judah has the kingship in Israel today under David,
kakano Yuda ngali mu Israeli eranga akutte omuggo ogwobufuzi nga kabaka wansi wa Daudi,
we have the birthright promise under Joseph.
Naffe tulina olukusa olwokuzaalibwa nga ababereberye wansi wa Yusufu.
It's the right of the firstborn.
Erono olukusa lwa mwana mubereberye.
One of the blessings of the right of the firstborn, he gets a double portion. The word Ephraim means double blessing. That's why Judah has the Torah. But we have the double blessing. We get the Torah with the Spirit to be able to understand it. To be able to understand it. So we see the predominance of Yeshua in this covenant. He is the first of the firstborn and has the right of everything. Verse 16 of Colossians 1. For all things were created through him, the things in the heaven and the things of the earth, the visible and invisible, whether imperial thrones or dominions, or angelic orders or authorities, all things were in his hand and have been created by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are sustained. And he is the head of the body, the congregation, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead. That he may be preeminent in all things. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. So like we said, without the resurrection, we have nothing. And he was the firstborn from the dead. But let's look at what he says now. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. You know, in the book of Hebrews, he tells us he's not ashamed to call us brothers. Can you imagine this being who died for us, this predominant one, the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father on an imperial throne, is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters.
Wow.
But again, these are people who are covenant relationship. Romans 8 in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you.
muri ba mubiri ne muri ba moyo kubanga moyo wa yawe ali mu mwe.
How does the spirit of Yahweh dwell in you?
Yo moyo wa yawe akubera mwatia.
We said through baptism.
Twaga nti okuyita mukubatiza.
Through baptism.
Wetu okuyita mukubatiza.
Acts 8 shows first you have water baptism.
Ebikolo bya batumi ebitulaga olukisokera dalanga tuvudde mukubatiza.
But the Holy Spirit did not enter them till the laying on of hands by the elder. The Holy Spirit did not enter the people till the elders laid the hands on.
Okay, omoyo omwaulo omoyo mutukuvu nditeyakka ku bantu bano bonna okutusanga abakadde bamaze kubasaako mikono nga bava kubatizibwa.
So he says you are not in the flesh but in the spirit since the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you.
Agamatika kano temuchali ba mubiri ne muri ba moyo kubanga moyo wa yawe ali mu mwe.
If you've been baptized into his family.
Bobango batizidwa kuyingira mu ba family yetu.
But if anyone has not the spirit of Messiah?
Naye omuntu yenna wabanga talina moyo wa Masiya.
This one does not belong to him.
Oyo nno taba muntu we.
This one does not belong to him.
Ndio yotaba uwe.
How important is baptism?
Kale labanga chikulu nye cho kubatizibwa.
It's the beginning of that covenant.
Kubanga yentandikwe yendagano.
And literally being impregnated with the Holy Spirit.
Eranga chitandika nokutekebwa mu omoyo omutukuvu.
And being a child of Yahweh.
No fuko mwana wa Yahweh.
And being a first fruit to him.
No bere chibara ichiberebere jali.
So I say if you're not a firstborn, a first fruit, you might as well walk out. This means nothing to you.
Ko baba watoli chibara chiberebere gwenebo wetambulya no genda bino tebijja kuba bikuru joli.
But if you're a firstborn?
Nebo bango oli mwana muberebere.
This means everything.
Chino chitegeza buli chimu joli.
And the Passover means everything.
Eranga embage yokuitako ebetegeza buli chimu joli.
Now we go down to verse 14.
Tugenda mu lunyiri lwa 14 awo nyi wetubadde mu Balumi.
For as many as are led by the spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons of Yahweh.
Ntingabo nabo bakulemberwa omoyo wa Yahweh, bano bebabera abana ba Yahweh.
So this just isn't some ceremony where we're getting you wet in water.
Kakati kino si kikolwa bukolwa nti tukunyika bunyisibwe otobe namazi.
Literally the spirit of Yahweh from heaven is coming into you.
Kino chochi bachikulu nti omoyo wa Yahweh abaku yingiramu.
And making you a literal child.
Eranga akufula omwana omuto.
For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear.
Kubanga temwafuna moyo wa buddu eramwe muyinzo kutya.
But you received the spirit of sonship by which we cry Abba Father.
Naye mwafuna omoyo owo kugamba owo kuzalibwa oyatuyinzisa okuyita kitaffe nti tata.
In Hebrew, Abba, it means daddy.
Murabulaniya buloga nti Abba, oboga nti tata.
It's a term that is very close with a father and a child.
Kwagacha ekigambo ekyo, ekisembeze nnyo tata n'omwana.
The spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh.
Chomoyo yenyini ajulira nti fetuli bana ba Yahweh.
Now here's the verse that just blows your mind.
Wanono we wali olunyiriri ngado lujja kusobera.
And if children also heirs.
Nti era abana bwe babanga basika.
Truly heirs of Yahweh?
Era mazima dala basika ba Yahweh.
And joint heirs of Messiah.
Eranga basika awamu ne Masiya.
If indeed we suffer together.
Mazima dala wetubanga tubona abonedde wamu.
That we may be glorified together.
Era tujja kugulumizibwa wamu.
I just read the predominance of the Messiah, right?
Bandina akabasomerako obusukulumu bwa Masiya siwe kiri.
And the Messiah says, I want to share in this predominance with you.
Eranga Masiya agamanti njagalanga bane obusukulumu buno wendimu awamu namwe.
We're not going to be slaves of him when he returns in his kingdom.
Tetugenda kuba badube bwe wanga akomyo mu bufuzi bwe.
We're going to be co-heirs of the universe.
Tugenda kuyitibwa abasika.
Because he loves us.
Kubanga atwagala.
Revelation 5:10. Revelation 5:10 says we will be kings and priests in his kingdom.
Agamanti tunabera bakabaka era bakabona mu bufuzi bwe.
Are you ready to be a king?
Wetegese okubera kabaka gundi.
Are you ready to be a priest?
Wetegese okubera kabona.
But we're not going to be Levites.
Nera tujja kuba balevi.
We're going to be under the order of Melchizedek.
Tugenda kubera mu nsengeka era mu nkole ya Melchizedek.
Let's go to Hebrews 7.
Tugenda mu Bebulaniya sura ya 7.
You know, I'll read one more scripture here, though, in Romans 8.
Mubarumi wade wachaluwa kanyirikamu, sobole okuddawo.
It says, for I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the coming glory to be revealed in us.
So, first, just read back. Read from
Yes. For I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the coming of the glory to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of
Yahweh.
And in this world we have tribulation. We have money problems. We have sickness. We have false accusations. We have all kinds of problems in this world. But tell me, what problem in your life can compare to what we're going over here? What problem in your life can compare to be a firstborn? In rule with Messiah for eternity. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 7. And I'll start in verse 11. It says, if therefore perfection had been reached by the Levitical priesthood, by which the Torah was enacted for the people, what further need would there be for another priest to rise after the order of
Melchizedek?
Otherwise, the scriptures would have said he would be after the order of Aaron. Otherwise, the scriptures would have said that he would have been after the order of
Aaron.
But as there is a change in the priesthood, of necessity a change in the instruction of the Torah also occurs. If we look at the difference from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, we said the people, the land, and the Torah is the same in every covenant. So what is the difference from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant? The agreement about sin. The Old Covenant said, if you do this sin, you'll
die.
The New Covenant says, my son's blood can cover you, and I'll forgive your sin. So the Torah is not done away with. Just the agreement about breaking the Torah is changed. And the other change is the priesthood. Levi was a shadow. Melchizedek is the reality. So there's a changing of the priesthood, and that's what he's saying here. In Hebrews 7, they're talking about one law of tithing. And it's saying since there's a change of the priest from Levi to
Melchizedek,
there has to be a change of giving your tithe instead of to Levi to Melchizedek. But it's very interesting also that there's a difference of the word of priesthood from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. The word in the Old Covenant for the Levite priest, it's a sacred order of priesthood. Almost like royalty, like kingship. Because they shadowed Yeshua, and that's a good thing. But in the new covenant under Yeshua's order,
naye ate mu ndagaano empya okusinziira ku nsengeko ya Yashua,
the Melchizedek order,
mu nkola eyo ya Melchizedeki,
it means ministry of public service,
kitegeeza obuweereza obw'abantu bonna.
And there's a difference.
Wabawo enjawulo.
Sometimes your pastors have been overlords instead of servants.
Oluusi abasumba bammwe baba n'emigugu minene nnyo ate okusinga ku bantu bano abawansi.
How did Yeshua tell us?
Yeshua yatugamba atya?
He said, don't lord over the people like the Gentiles.
Yabaga nti temutusa migugu minene ku bantu nga bannamawanga.
But he who wants to be greatest among you,
naye ate oyo ayagala obukulu mummwe,
let him be your servant.
Kaweerezenga mummwe.
Hebrews 8:6.
Abebulaniya esule y'omunana olunyiriro lwa
Hebrews the 8th chapter in verse 6.
Esule y'omunana olunyiriro lwa mukaga tuchale mu kitabo kya Abebulaniya.
Says, but now Yeshua the Messiah has received a ministry which is greater than that.
Ndikakano Yeshua Masia afunye obuweereza obukulu okusinga kokobo.
Also by so much more.
Eranga bukulu nnyo.
He is a mediator of a better covenant, and so are the promises greater than the first covenant.
Ntera kakano yekayungirizi owendagane yenkulu era nebisubize byendagano.
It's a
bikulu nyo owenda bikulu kundagane yasoka.
It's a better covenant built on better promises.
Ntena ndagano esinga okko eyazimbibwa kubisubize bisinga.
The covenant of Yahweh is forever.
Ndagano za Yahweh za lubelera.
But the sign of the covenant can change.
Naye ate obubonero mu ndagaano ezo bukyuka.
The old covenant sign was circumcision.
Nkiddamu nti akabonero ak'endagaano enkadde kwali kukomola.
The new covenant is baptism.
Endagaano empya kubatizibwa.
It's like you came here today to this hotel.
Kiringa olwaleero nti muzze mu hoteri eno.
Maybe you followed the sign that said Triangle Hotel this way.
Owoli awazengo nosoma kapande nti Hotel Triangle eri ku luyi luno.
Now if the sign was 20 years old,
singa kabonero ako kabadde kawezeze emyaka nga 28,
and you couldn't read the sign anymore,
nga kabonero tokyayinza kasoma tekakyalabika,
so they put a brand new sign up.
Olwo ne bawanika ekipande ate ekipya.
And it's a better sign. It's got an arrow pointing you which way to go.
Nga ekipande ekyo kyo kirabika bulungi, kirina n'akasit nikoga, kirina n'endagiriro ekulaga nti hoteri gy'olaga eri ku luyi luno.
It doesn't change the hotel.
Kitegeeza hoteri yeba tekyuse.
The sign is pointing you how to get there.
Wabula ate akabonero akakulungamya nti eri ku luyi.
But the hotel is the same.
Wabulanga hotel yesigadde ekyalinga bwe yali.
So Yahweh's word is forever.
Kati Yahweh ekigambo kyekyo kyaluberera.
But it's his prerogative to change the sign.
Wabula ekikyuka mu kyo bwe bubonero obukinyweza.
The book of Exodus tells us the ordinance of Passover is forever.
Ekitabo ekyokuva kitugamba nti obubonero.
The ordinance.
Okutukuzibwa oba ebyayawulibwa ebyembaga eyokuyitako byaluberera mirembe gyonna.
But in the old covenant,
naye ate era mu ndagaano enkadde,
the symbol was killing a lamb.
Akabonero akaaliyo kwali kutta mwana gwa ndiga.
In the new covenant we have the unleavened bread and the wine.
Kati ku ndagaano eno empya tulina akabonero ak'omugaati ak'emigaati egitali mizimbulukuse ne vinyo.
Passover is still forever.
Embaga yokuita kote vanga wira luberera mirembe jona.
But the sign has changed.
Wobula atobo wanero bwachi ukate tuchasadda kansolo kumuluni kuno tujja na migati gitali mizimulukuse na vi.
Now why wouldn't we kill a lamb today at Passover?
Lwachi mulundi gwalero tatuyinza kutta mwana gwandiga.
Because in Exodus it tells us that each family is to take one lamb to kill at Passover.
Kubanga mu kitabo ekyokuva kitugamba nti buli maka gali gaina okutwala omwana gwendiga gumu nga gwakutibwa ku mbaga yokuyitako.
So if Yeshua is our Passover,
kati Yeshua wabanga kwe kuita ko kwafi,
then we already have a Passover.
Kitegeezo tuba tulina okuyitako.
If you were to kill a lamb, that would be your second Passover.
Kati singoba osso mwana gwendiga, kitegeezo okoze okuyitako okwokubiri okukwo.
And it would be against the scripture.
Ekyo kiba tekikontana n'ebyawandiikibwa gundi.
Let's read in Hebrews 10, we'll see.
Tusome mu Ebulaniya 10, tulabe ekigenda maaso.
For the Levitical law had in it a shadow of good things to come.
Kubanga eteka eryabalevi chali kisikirize ekyebyo ebintu ebirungi ebyali bijja.
But not the substance of those things themselves.
Naye nga si bintu ebyo byennyini nga byo.
Appearing year by year with the same sacrifices.
Nti nga bibeerawo mwaka ku mwaka ne saddaka zezimu.
Which they offer continually.
Ng'ezo nno ze bawaayo obutalekerawo.
They never able to perfect the ones who offered them.
Tebyayinza ebyo byonna bye baakolanga saddaka. Kutuukiriza abantu bano ababikolanga oba kubatukuza.
Otherwise, if they had been perfected, they would have stopped offering them.
Munge yendala singa bali batukuvu oba byali bibatuukiriza tebandirekeddawo kuwangayo.
For from here on end, their minds would have been driven them into the sins which they had once been cleansed. Come again. Their minds would not have driven them back into the sins which they were cleansed. But in those sacrifices, they remembered their sins year by year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the penalty of sins. Now, some people think the book of Hebrews is wrong. Because you know what it says in Leviticus? If you commit a sin not knowingly, and you bring a lamb before the priest, and you kill the lamb, and your sin will be forgiven. And they say, Hebrews is contradicting that. It's saying it's not forgiven. But Hebrews never talked about forgiveness. It talked about the blood of bulls and goats. Cannot remove the penalty of sin. See, there's a difference between forgiveness and penalty. If a man goes out here today and commits adultery, and he gets AIDS, and then he repents, he'll be forgiven. But the AIDS doesn't disappear. See, on the day of Yom Kippur, which is the day of covering, not removal, every year, the sins would be covered from year to year. But Yeshua did not just come to take away our sins,
Yeshua,
or forgive our sins. He came to remove the penalty. And there's a big difference. Remember, forgiveness is one thing, but penalty is another thing. Now, why couldn't a lamb pay the penalty for a sin? Because the Torah says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And the life of an animal is not equal with the life of a human. So you couldn't go out and kill somebody and then say, I killed a lamb, we're equal. We're even. Now there's another very bad heresy out there. There's another heresy that people are teaching. They're saying Yeshua did not exist forever, but he was just born a man and lived perfect. But can that be? Not according to Torah. Because Ezekiel 14, when Ezekiel is telling the sin before Yahweh, he says, if Daniel, Job, and Noah stood before me, they would only save themselves. If Yeshua was just a regular man, and he never sinned, his life would only be worth one other life. But the fact that he's the creator of everything, like we read in Colossians, his life is greater than all the life of his creation. And that's why his death can cover the sin of everyone. But the blood of bulls and goats, it cannot pay the penalty of sin. Back to Hebrews 10. For this reason, coming into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but you prepared a body for me.
Come in.
Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but you prepared a body for me.
Aganti sadaka nebiwebwayo sibye mwetaga nayo mwatekera tekera omubiri mwatekera tekera omubiri.
You did not delight in burnt offerings and sin offerings.
Nditemwasanyukira. This you is plural or
one? You did not delight in burnt offerings and sin offerings.
This is plural or singular?
It's one.
This year. Is it plural or singular this year? Was it talking for one person or me?
Oh, no, one.
Okay, one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then I said, lo, I come as it's written about me in the beginning of the books. I delight to do your will, O Elohim. You did not desire nor were pleased with sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices concerning sins which are offered according to the Levitical law. Then he goes on to say that the priest, the Levite priest, does the same sacrifices every day, but he never forgives sins.
But verse 12, but
he offering but one sacrifice for sins, sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of
Yahweh.
From then on, expecting until his enemies are placed as a footstool under his feet. For by one offering he has perfected in perpetuity the ones being sanctified.
And verse 18,
but where remission of these is, there is no longer offering concerning sins. So his sacrifice is ongoing, it's every day. As long as you're under covenant relationship. And that's why once a year on the Passover, we renew that covenant and it covers us for the whole year.
Tuzoja endagane eyo era ne tubikibwako emirembe jonna. I mean omwaka mulamba.
And verse 16.
Olunyiro lwe 10 omukaga lugamba.
This is the covenant which I will covenant to them after those days, says Yahweh.
Njeno endagano jenna akola nabo.
Giving my laws on their heart and I will write them on their minds. And he adds, I will not at all still remember their sins and their lawless deeds. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers, having confidence for the entering of the Holy of Holies by the blood of Yeshua.
Okay. Ndikakano aboluganda ngamu muri bagumu olwokuyingira awatukuvu awatukuvu mu musayi gwa Yeshua.
Which he consecrated for us a new and living way through the veil that is his flesh.
Which he consecrated for us. Ogogoya wayo kulwafe. Okuyita mu ogogoya wayo kulwafe, okuyita mu kitambala oba mu kiwero ngecho nno checho mubiri gwe.
So, in the Melchizedek priesthood, which is different than the Levitical priesthood, there's only one sacrifice, and that's
Yeshua.
But as we come to him as first fruits unto
Yeshua,
he wants us to be living sacrifices. One day a year, we remember the dying sacrifice. But 364 days a year, we remember him through us being living sacrifices.
Okay.
There's one other thing about Passover that's extremely important.
Go back to Exodus 13. Yes. Verse
13. And Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, verse 1. Set apart to me every firstborn. The one opening the womb before the sons of Israel, among men and among livestock, they shall be mine. And so, firstborn are holy to Yahweh. Firstborn is set apart to Yahweh. Do you remember what Yahweh told the Israelites in the Torah? He said, if you obey his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, and you come in covenant relationship with him, then his name will be on you. And the people will fear you. There's power in this covenant. There's power in being a firstborn. There's a time coming very shortly where we know that Yahweh is going to allow Satan to control this earth for 42 months. It's in Revelation 13. And we know the one world government. We see it. It's already just about here. And this government, this Satan government, is going to force all the world to worship him. And they're
going to
put a mark where? In your right hand. And in your forehead. They're already putting chips in people already today. And they say the right hand and the forehead is the only place in your body that the temperature will make the chip work right. But do you know what's going to happen when Satan brings this mark of the beast? There's going to be another Passover like in Egypt. And firstborn are going to die all over the earth. So it's important to us as firstborn. We want to make sure that we have that blood on our door. I told you before, if you're not a firstborn, you might as well leave. This don't matter to you. But if we're all firstborn, this is very serious. Now let's look at the sign of Yahweh, what he says in the same chapter that we just talked about, where he said firstborn are important to him, holy to him. Look at verse 8 of chapter 13. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, it is because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out from Egypt. And it will be a sign. So this is the opposite of the sign of the beast. This is the sign of Yahweh. It will be a sign. So Yahweh's Passover is a sign to you on your hand, and a memorial between your eyes, so that the Torah of Yahweh may be on your mouth. You see, you think with the mind, and you do with the hand. Your work is with the hand. What did I say before about sin? Sin is not just with the action. It starts in the mind. The law says you shall not murder. I say if you think anger with your brother. So this is what Yahweh is showing us, the opposite of Satan's work. Is having his law written on our minds. And our actions will be from Yahweh's Torah. Now let's go to the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read you about the second Passover. And the sealing that comes before that. Ezekiel
9.
Verse 1. And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, let the overseers of the city draw near, even each with his destroying weapon in his hand. So these are spirit beings that are coming with weapons to destroy the city.
Spirit beings.
And six men were coming from the way of the upper gate which faces north. And each had his shattering weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in linen, showing the purity of Yahweh. And an inkhorn of a scribe at his loins. Like for pen writing. And he went and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel had gone up. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel had gone up. From on the cherub where it was before, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen with the inkhorn of a scribe at his loins.
And
Yahweh said to him, pass through in the midst of the city, in the midst of Jerusalem, and imprint a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and are mourning for all the abominations done in her midst. And he said to those in my hearing, pass over in the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye spare and do not have pity. Slay the aged men, the young men, and the virgin, even children and women, all to destruction. But to every man who has my mark on him, do not come near to him. And begin in my sanctuary. And they began with the aged men who were before the house. Are you starting to understand why the Bible tells us we have to examine ourselves before taking the Passover? It's such a serious thing to enter covenant relationship. The commitment you're making today, some of you for baptism, is so serious.
Mwe, ekwe wa yu no kusala ukwe mukozo lwaliro kwa kubatiza. Kukulu nyo.
The choice is very easy.
Okusala oko kwangu.
Eternal life or eternal death?
Bulamu obutagwao n'okufa okoluberera.
But still the decision is very serious.
Naye ate okusalawo kukulu nnyo.
And that's why at every Passover we need to examine our hearts. Yensonga lwaki tugwanidde ku buli mbaga y'okuyita kutusooke tukebere emitima gyaffe. We need to see where we're falling short with Yahweh in our life.
Tulina okulaba nti wowe tuwabye mu maaso ga Yahweh.
And we need to remove any hidden sins from our life.
Tuyinza okujja buli kibi kyonna ekikusike mu bulamu bwaffe.
Because I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it will be this year.
Kubanga simanyi oba lyogunaba mwaka guno.
And I don't know if it will be next year.
Simanyi oba gunaba mwaka gujja.
But one year, very soon,
nayo mwaka gumu mu kisere kitali kya wala.
This is going to happen.
Kino kijja kubaawo.
And many, many people are going to die.
Era abantu bangi bajja kufa.
But the ones that have the blood of the lamb covering the door,
naye abo balina akabonero ak'omusaayi gw'omwana gw'endiga akali ku miryango gyabwe,
will be protected.
Bajja kukuumibwa.
What do you think that Yahweh told Moses to put the blood around the door?
Gwe gundi lwaki okirowooza nti yawe yagamba Musa agamba abantu baddire omusaayi baguteeke ku mifuba eto gy'enjuyi zaabwe?
Because in John 10, Yeshua says, I am the door.
Kubanga mu Yokana 10, Yeshua agamba nti nze mulyango.
And I am the only way in.
Era nga nze kkubo nzekka mw'oyinza okuyingirira.
Have you ever seen a sheep pen where sheep stay?
Wali olabyeko ku kisibo ky'endiga gundi?
There's a wall around the pen.
Waberawo ekisenge ekitaliza kuga ekyekisibo.
And there's thorns that cover so animals can't get in.
Ngaira kuliko namagwa agaziza ensolo zebwero obutayingira.
And then there's a little door to come in and out.
Kali nebagereka omulyango gumunga mutono gwe gukuyingizira gwe kufulumia.
Do you know the shepherd actually sleeps in the door?
Okimanyi nti n'omusumba asulira ddala ku mulyango awo.
Because Yahweh help whoever comes to try to hurt those sheep.
Kubanga Yahweh ye aliwo okukuuma buli muntu yenna yandibadde ayingira okuleeta obulabe ku ndigezo.
We put the blood on the door because he is the door to our eternal life.
Tuteeka omusaayi ku mulyango kubanga ye gwe mulyango gw'obulamu bwaffe obutagwawo.
If we go to John 6,
tugende mu Yokaani sura y'omukaaga.
We will see how important it is to take that Passover, that bread and wine, every year.
Tujja kulaba obukulu obuli mu kintu ekyo ky'okulya embaga y'omugaati ogutali muzimbu, embaga y'okuyitako nga tulya emigaati egitali mizimbu lukuse ne vinyo buli mwaka.
John 6 and verse 26.
Olunyiriwa
26. Yes.
Olunyiriwa 2 mu mukaaga. Sura ya mukaaga olunyiriwa 2 mu mukaaga. Kitabo kya Yokaani.
Yeshua answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were satisfied."
Agamba nti mazima ddala. Labanga mbagamba nti munoonya si lwa kubanga bya magero newankubadde obubonero, naye olw'okuba mwalidde emigaati ne mukkuta.
Yeshua said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life."
Abagamba nti muleme kulafubanira mmere eyezikirira, naye mulwanirire mmere eyo ey'obulamu obutagwawo.
Verse 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and he gave them bread out of heaven. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven.
Agamba nti bajjajjaffe balya emmaanu mu ddungu nga bwe kyawandiikibwa nti baalya omugaati ogwava mu ggulu.
Then Yeshua said to them, "Truly, truly, I say, Moses did not give you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven."
Abagamba nti mazima ddala mbagamba nti Musa teyabawa mugaati guva mu ggulu, naye ate Kitange abawa omugaati gwennyini oguva mu ggulu.
Verse 35.
Olunyiriro lwa 35.
Yeshua said unto them, "I am the bread of life. The one coming to me will not hunger, and the one believing in me will not thirst ever."
Abagamba nti nze ndi mugaati gwa bulamu, era na buli ajja gye ndi tafune nnyonta newankubadde okulumwa enjala.
Verse 39, "And this is the will of the Father sending me, that all that he has given to me, I will not lose any of it, but shall raise him up the last day."
Agamba nti kuno kwe kwagala kwa Kitange eyansindika, nti abo bonna be yampa siibabuze, naye naabazuukiza ku lunaku luli olw'enkomerero.
Verse 41, "Then the Jews murmured about him because he said, I am the bread coming from heaven."
Olwana mulumulu gamba nti olw'Abayudaaya ne balyoka bamugolokokerako okulw'okubanga yali agambye nti nze mugaati okuva mu ggulu.
44, it says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Verse
51,
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed, the bread which I give to you is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And indeed, the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world.
Eranga omugati gwembawa gwemubiri gwange ogwoguva gwempa gwembawa munsi.
Then the Jews argued with one another, saying, how can this one give us his flesh to eat?
Abayudaya mbolone bakayana ne bagamba nti ona iza to tuwo mubiri gwe tugulie.
Then Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you,
Yeshua na bagamba nti mazima ddala mbagamba nti,
except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So clearly he's relating to the Passover. Unless we take those symbols of the bread and wine, we have no life in us.
But
there's something else that's interesting about the Passover in this chapter. Going back to verse 27, where Yeshua said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but the food to everlasting life. Which the Son will give to you. So he says, now this one, the one taking of the bread and the wine, his body and blood, he says, for Yahweh the Father has sealed this one. And that word literally means given a mark for preservation. What did we read in
Ezekiel?
The six angels are coming, the destroying angels, to destroy them. But not until the people of Yahweh are marked.
Nayenga tebajja kuzikiriza okutuusa ng'abantu ba Yahweh bamaze okutekebwako akabonero.
And here he says the ones that are taking his body and his blood,
kakati wanagamba nti abo abali omubiri gwe n'omusaayi gwe,
they are the ones that will be sealed, preserved in that day.
Nti be abaana abo bateekeddwako envumbo era nga ke kabonero ak'okubakuuma obutazikirizibwa.
Passover is so important. And by Satan deceiving the churches into taking communion every week, they've diminished the sacrifice of Passover. Because this is so serious. You couldn't reflect like this every week. And that's why Yahweh has us do it once a year. But if no Passover, then no sacrifice. If no sacrifice, then no covenant. And if no covenant, then no kingdom. Yahweh bless you.